And we're going to, we got what we think are going to be some housekeeping bills. We will find out. But we'll open a public hearing on House Bill 2085. Teresa.
Yes, House Bill 2085 is from the Board of Accountancy. It allows certified public accountants licensed in other states to conduct peer review of certified public accountants or public accountants licensed in Oregon. And there's an emergency clause. There's no fiscal or revenue and no amendments in front of
it. All right, we've got a big emergency. So who's going to come and speak to me? Please.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Carol Reeves. I'm the administrator for the Board of Accountancy. House Bill 2085 is really a simple little bill. It deserves your support. And in light of our late start here, I will try to be as brief as possible. I'll try not to talk too fast so that I can be understood.
That's all right.
The bill removes a Scrivener's error that inadvertently imposes the requirement for an Oregon license in order to perform peer review on Oregon licensees. This is not necessary. A CPA from another state is perfectly capable and qualified to perform this peer review on Oregon licensees. The bill presents a situation where the explanation is more complicated than the bill itself, but I would like to mention three things. First of all, peer review. Second of all, attest services. And finally, public protection. The purpose of peer review is to increase public protection. It is a program by which the work of a certified public accountant or public accountant in Oregon is reviewed by another licensed certified public accountant to make sure that the work meets professional standards. Attest services are those services that require peer review, and these are services in which the certified public accountant issues a formal statement or opinion on financial statements that are presented by an organization. They are known as third-party reliance services because someone else has required the independent opinion on those financial statements. For example, banks, leasing companies, credit companies may require an organization to have a review or an audit of their financial statements before the bank makes the decision to loan money or extend credit to that individual. The attest services with which the public is most familiar are the financial statements that are issued by publicly owned companies that must be audited by an independent certified public accountant so that the public has an independent review of the financial statements. This is the purpose of peer review. It is to provide public protection. Attest services are also performed according to national standards. Finally, public protection is not diminished if this service is provided by a certified public accountant who's licensed in another state, because the peer review process is conducted according to national standards. The services that peer review reviews are conducted according to national standards. There is nothing unique about the Oregon performance of these services that requires an Oregon license. I'm happy to answer any questions and certainly appreciate any support you might give this bill.
Just one question. You can understand the ironic situation is with the accountancy and having a Scrivener's error. You know, it makes me, you know, that's kind of interesting. So when did that happen? When did the error?
I have to explain that.
When did the error take place?
1999.
Okay.
And what happened is the board licenses two levels of accountants, certified public accountants and public accountants. Certified public accountants have fairly uniform standards across the states. However, public accountants do not. Oregon is only one of 10 states that license public accountants. And because these requirements to be a public accountant are not uniform, the purpose was to say that a certified public accountant or a public accountant licensed in Oregon may perform peer review. But the placement of the ORS citation, ORS 673-150, was placed in front of both names, which then had the effect of imposing the requirement on both certified public accountants and public accountants.
That's good. I just wanted to get that for the record to see where that happened.
Yes, thank you.
Questions at all? Okay, anybody else wish to testify on House Bill 2085? We'll close public hearing on House Bill 2085. Open a work session on House Bill 2085.
Chair.
Senator Starr.
2085 to the Senate floor with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Starr's move House Bill 2085 to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Discussion? Objection? The order. Thank you. We'll put a public hearing in House Bill. Excuse me?
Have a carrier.
Well,
could I?
You're kind of a numbers guy. Senator Atkinson. Okay. Thank you, Senator. I'll put a public hearing in House Bill 2195B, and I believe that is you as well.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. My name is Carol Rees. I am the administrator for the Oregon Board of Accountancy. Hospital 2195B has three concepts, also very simple concepts. The first one is to establish cease and desist authority for the board. The board does not currently have this authority, and they believe it is necessary for public protection. It is intended to target violations of individuals who either do not have a license at risk or are have no assets from which civil penalties may be collected. These individuals have nothing to lose, and therefore an order assessing civil penalties has no effect. The board believes that an order to cease and desist from the unlicensed activity will be more effective. Examples of violations that would be subject of a cease and desist order would include any use of the license designation, advertising, or performing restricted services by individuals who are not licensed. This may occur by someone who has never been licensed. It may be the conduct of someone who was licensed and whose license has been revoked, but who neglects to tell the public that he's no longer a licensed certified public accountant or public accountant. Rather, these people continue to hold out and act as though they continue to hold the license. The second portion of this bill is also a housekeeping effort to remove the word retired from the statute that addresses the eligibility standards for inactive status. The board has active licensees and inactive licensees. Inactive licensees are not required to report the continuing education requirement, and they pay a reduced license fee. On the other hand, they may not use the designation for their license without following it with the word inactive or retired. The inclusion of the word retired in the statute implies that one must be, in fact, retired in order to apply for the status. The board interprets this as meaning you may be retired from the practice of public accountancy, but they do not interpret that to mean that you must be out enjoying your golden years before you may apply for an active status. In fact, there are many licensees who do not work in the area of public accountancy, but rather they work for the government, they work in education, or they work for private companies. These people may not have the requirement to have an active license, but they may wish to maintain it on an inactive status. So we believe that the removal of the word retired from the statute is simply clarification of the actual eligibility requirements for inactive status. The third portion of this, again, goes back to peer review. The board has broad authority in its statute already to conduct peer review and to monitor and regulate the peer review program. The board, however, wants to clarify in the statute that it also has the authority to require licensees to provide copies of peer review reports and that the board may review these peer review reports. Peer review is an important aspect of the board's programs because it is a tool for public protection. It protects the public on those services that are subject to third-party reliance. Peer review transparency is currently a topic of serious discussion in the profession and also among regulators. In this context, transparency refers to the openness of peer reviews and peer review reports in order to understand what the errors were, what the problems are, so that a licensee who may receive an adverse peer review report, the board may look at it and may take action that may be necessary to protect the public. Both the National Association of State Boards of Accountancy and the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants have issued public statements supporting the full achievement of peer review transparency. We've also seen federal legislation in the past 2 years. You all are familiar with the words Sarbanes-Oxley Act, although few of us understand it totally, and the creation of a new regulatory body, the Public Company Accounting Oversight Board. Both of these are efforts on the federal level to open up the peer review process and to protect the public from in the performance of attest services. In light of these changes and the move towards transparency, the board wants to clarify that they have the authority to require peer review reports from their licensees and to review them and take action as necessary. I would be happy to answer any questions you may have.
In today's world, how common have you experienced individuals claiming to be a certified public accountant or a public accountant in which they were not? What's our complaint threshold at the moment?
In the last 3 years, I would say perhaps a dozen complaints. and at least four of those have been licensees whose licenses were revoked and who continue to work with their client base without advising their clients that they were no longer licensed as a certified public accountant. There are many services they can perform without a license. Accounting is not restricted to licensees. Bookkeeping is not restricted to licensees. Tax preparation is not restricted to licensees. But when a member of the public chooses someone to do their work and they choose a certified public accountant, they generally do it because of the trust and the integrity that that profession implies. And so for their licensee not to have advised them of the change of status, we believe is a fraud on the client and that the public should be protected from that. There are also folks who use the designation because they may have had a license issued by another state years and years ago. The license may not be active. It may not have ever been a full credential. It may have been only a partial credential. But they use the designation nevertheless. And that designation has certain meaning to the public. It means that there is an independence and objectivity and integrity standard that that person must follow. And if they, in fact, are not so licensed, then they are not providing the service and the integrity that the client expects.
Okay. Any questions, Senator Atkinson?
No.
Okay, anybody else wish to testify on House Bill 2195? Okay, we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2195, and since we lost our quorum, we'll move on to open up a public hearing on House Bill 2371. Scott Macy and John Brenneman, Tim Martinez, if you want to come forward. We're in subcommittee at the moment. And if you see Senator Starr come in here, that should be a cue if you want your bill or not.
Give me up.
See what Senator Montefiore wants you to do.
Welcome.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm John Brenneman. I represent the Oregon Funeral Directors Association. I'll admit I'm dyslexic. I noticed as I was passing that out that I scrambled the numbers on the testimony. It doesn't match with what you have before you and the bill number. The bill number is 2371.
Yeah.
With me today is Scott Macy, one of my members who I'm going to have lead the testimony.
Welcome.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak today, the chair and members of the committee. My name is Scott Macy, and I'm a funeral director from McMinnville, Oregon. I also serve as the chair of the Funeral Trust, which is the master trustee for funeral trust in the state of Oregon. When a citizen chooses to come into a funeral home and pre-plan a funeral, the funeral director will either direct that person to an insurance product or a trust product. In this case, and this particular bill is concerning trust. The person will either prepay a portion of that or they will prepay the entire funeral. In some cases, the funeral home will guarantee, in fact, in the majority of cases, our particular funeral home, 90% of our funeral trusts are guaranteed. In managing the trust, we're under the guidelines, rules, and regulations of the state of Oregon. In addition to that, we're also under the guidelines of how we invest our money of these trusts. The monies are invested in a very conservative way, in treasuries, government-backed securities, vacant acceptance, these type of monies. And therefore, there lies the problem that we have with our current bill. The current allowance is 25%. In order to administrate these funds, they allow us 25% of the earnings of the trust. In a year such as last year, where we only earned a couple percent, it doesn't allow us enough administrative money to administrate it properly. So what we're proposing is that we be allowed to take 2% of the total fund, which would also come out of earnings, and it would not invade principal. So in those years where we earn less than 5 or 6%, we can still pay our administrative expenses. In addition to that, in the House, when we came before the House, they voted out of committee 100% to back this bill. There was some concern on the floor that that the allowance of the monies would also be taken from principal. We've since met with the department and agreed to not take any monies out of principal. What we are asking in concession of this, although, is that we'd be allowed to establish a reserve. So in the years that we don't make, or if we make 0%, we're allowed to have a reserve to make up that difference. Still not taking any money out of principal. Are there any questions that you have?
I want to go to Mr. Martinez first.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, Tim Martinez here on behalf of the Oregon Bankers Association. We were part of the work group with John's clients as well as DCBS. We're happy with the work product and thank both DCBS and the funeral directors for putting together these amendments. Happy to answer any questions.
Okay.
And Mr. Chair, John Brenneman again, if I might just add that we think that the -2 amendment, restoring the language that has come from earnings, and not touch the principal, quiets our critics on the other side. And we do have the head of the Division of Finance and Corporate Security here, here today. And prior to the meeting, they have reviewed the amendment and satisfies them according to his conversation with me.
Okay, so on the back side of the bill, 23 and 27, we're restoring the bracket material on that. I think, first of all, questions of this panel before we ask DCBS.
They want the dash. You want the dash twos and the dash ones, or just the dash twos?
Dash two.
Dash twos.
Thank you.
Any questions, Senator Sperman?
Ready to go.
DCBS, you can nod if you want. If this is, or if you have other, or there you are. Okay. I got my glasses on. Okay. Got a thumbs up. Okay. That's what we like to hear in this committee at this stage of the game. All right. So we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2371. Open up a work session, House Bill 2371.
Mr. Chair, move the -2s.
Senator Atkinson has moved the -2 amendments to House Bill 2371. Discussion? Objection? So ordered.
I'd be delighted to move the entire bill as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Atkinson has moved House Bill 2371 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Objection? So ordered. Bruce, you know, how about being a funeral guy?
You know, if the duty calls, you know.
What a guy. Senator Starr will carry that one. Let's go back to a work session on, now that we're back to our quorum, on House Bill 2195 on the Board of Accountancy.
No amendments, Mr. Chair.
No amendments.
Move the bill, 2195D, to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Starr has moved House Bill 2195 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Objection? So ordered. Now it's my turn, so I'll carry that. We all got one now. So now we'll open up public hearing, House Bill 2372A, recreational vehicle franchise law. That must be why Mr. Miner is here, or Sean Miller, or who's here. Okay, come on up.
Giddy up.
Did I take him?
Yeah, he took him.
All right. Oh, we got Brenneman, too.
Yeah.
Franchise law.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm John Brenneman. I represent the Recreational Vehicle Industry Association. It's a trade association of RV manufacturers. And about 6 years ago, when the auto dealers were writing their auto dealers' rights bill on behalf of the RVIA, I asked the dealers if they would put off being included in that, if we would set aside and write our own bill with them. And we did that. We did it 2 years ago in House Bill 2670. And it contained about 10 or 12 protective issues for dealers. What happened in the passage of that law was a word was left out, and none of us caught it. And
Scrivener's error.
Well, it's not a Scrivener's error. It was a reader's error, I guess. And that's the word grantor. And what House Bill 2372 did was to restore a simple little phrase by the grantor that appeared on line 6 of the original bill. And that meant that if a franchise was canceled and done by the grantor or the manufacturer of the RVs, then we would buy back parts and vehicles. And so in working with Sean Miller, to my right, in behalf of the dealers, they said, yeah, there was a mistake, and we'll grant you that change. What we added in 2372 was a little sweetening to the bill for the dealers to maintain a good working relationship, and that adds a length of time from 120 days to 12 months on buyback. And we have worked this out with them. Sean can speak on behalf of the dealers. We think this is a pretty simple piece of work, and we don't have anybody against it that we know of.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Sean Miller, I represent the Oregon Recreational Vehicle Dealers Association, and John indicated last session was an agreement on franchise law. The provision that places the 120-day provisions on prior model years to 12 months, the reason why we changed it to 12 months is because several, in a year's time, a dealer can have three different model years. You can have last year's current model year and actually an advanced year, because sometimes manufacturers issue them quite a bit earlier. And since Jason's shooting rubber bands at me, Mr. Chair, I'll just say that we support the bill. And,
okay. Questions from the committee? Well, I mean, this is clearly
stunning.
An issue between manufacturing and distributors, and if you agree, I don't know why we should have any reason not to. Open up work session, House Bill 2372.
Mr. Chair, I move the bill to the Senate floor with a do-pass recommendation.
Senator Starr has moved House Bill 2372 to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. Any other discussion? Any objections? So ordered. I'm going to pass. You're next again. You're next.
Oh, I would. Thank you. I'm excited to carry this.
Thank you, Senator Atkinson. Okay, we're rocking, gang. We're going to open up a public hearing on House Bill 3097 and ask Mark Long. Oh, that's why you're here. Okay.
Bring him up. See what he's made out of.
You got something to shoot at him?
Might shoot back.
Yeah. Welcome, Mr. Long.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. For the record, Mark Long, Administrator, Building Codes. I'm here in support of House Bill 3097. I'd like to thank the trades for bringing this bill forward. This bill continues our efforts to streamline and make consistent building codes practices by moving towards electronic permitting. The bill allows us to continue the pilot we started in the Tri-County area, allow it to go statewide if jurisdictions choose to. It helps support consistency, and I think it's going to make it easier for businesses to get the permits, because obviously going to e-government allows 24/7 access to building permits, where right now that's not necessarily the case on a statewide basis. I've handed out this little information flyer about our program. This is one of our organization's top priorities, and we would appreciate your support on this bill, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Just real quickly, so sure. The expansion of who can use the service center resources, give me an example. Who now would be allowed to do this as a result of this?
Mr. Chair, because the pilot was created under the service center, it allows us to use our staff. For example, if somebody in Senator Atkinson's district would like to participate, a jurisdiction, mm-hmm. a municipal jurisdiction, Josephine County, Grants Pass, et cetera, would like to use the e-permitting features of this, we could send our staff down there, get them set up, plug into our system, and then the contractors and businesses in those areas would be able to buy the permits online, where right now I don't assume that they can do that.
Okay. We eliminate the sunset, and you're going to let us know next time how good this is working, correct?
Yes, sir. It has a report back to the legislature requirement in the bill.
We're good at that.
Yeah.
Question.
Crazy government talk, but okay.
All right. Anybody else like to testify? Anybody in the audience come forward? Nobody's coming forward, so we'll close public hearing. House Bill 3097, open work session, House Bill 3097.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Scar.
Move 3097 to the floor with a do-pass.
Senator Scar has moved House Bill 3097 to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. Discussion? Objection? It's ordered. You're next on the list, Bruce.
All right.
Senator Scar. Members, Thursday we are going to, at 1 o'clock here, devote that period for Senate Bill 1008 and see if we can figure out what we're going to do. That is the public statewide public power bill, so that will be our hearing on Thursday.
I know,
so we're going to go on that.
671 is also on.
But that will not be. But it will not be.
You're not going
to. They don't want to do that till Tuesday. So, we're adjourned. Thanks. Thanks, Jason.